what is the quantum of loan that can be provided and what is the interest rate that can be provided by this Bharatiya Mahila Bank. Loans can be availed for rupees 50,000 to rupees 7 lakhs at 2.5% above the bank's base rate. Saving bank interest rate can be 4.5% for deposits up to rupees 1 lakh and 5% for balance above rupees 1 lakh, which is definitely more than the 4% offered by most of the banks for the saving bank interest. So this will definitely encourage women to open new accounts with the Bharatiya Mahila Bank. From a Bharatiya Mahila Bank, a woman can now get higher interest on the saving bank account. 60% of total advances will be given to the women. Specialized products like kitchen loans, so that women don't have to complain that there are no specialized products for my purpose. This Bharatiya Mahila Bank will devise specialized products for women's need. Will hire women preferentially so that women will help women themselves. So larger employment opportunities for women, greater focus on women in the unbanked, rural and the urban areas will help women in every part of our country to get themselves employed and prosper. The bank's board consisting of 8 women directors, and they can go ahead and add 4 more so that more and more expertise will come into the board of Bharatiya Mahila Bank. 7 branches are planned to be opened across 7 states. The headquarters will be in New Delhi, and it has a provision to expand in the overseas also in due course. So friends, this is a wonderful opportunity for entering into a Bharatiya Mahila Bank for serving the purpose of women. There are special RBI instructions. RBI has directed that all public sector banks have to provide loans to women self-help groups at 7% per annum so that they get the benefit of interest rate subvention scheme as an incentive for providing loans to women self-help groups. More such development efforts are going to be seen or will be seen from January 2014 onwards, because more licenses for new generation banks are going to be issued by the Reserve Bank of India in January 2014. Watch out for some more new entrants in the banking sector after the issue of new banking licenses by the Reserve Bank of India in January 14. A big impact in the banking industry is likely to happen on the lines of entry of new generation private sector banks in the early 90s, where a totally new era was assured, a total effective and efficient banking scenario came into the picture, lots of private sector banks mushroomed, and lots of people got quick and efficient services. The new age banking. Now, what are bankers doing? What is their main strategy to grow in the banking business? Saving bank account has emerged as a game changer for the banking industry, because the banks are adding more and more useful utilities to these bank products. Let it be the insurance, life insurance, non-life insurance, accident cover, and all sort of other things are added so that the customer is lured in to open a saving account, and once a relationship is established, it establishes for a longer term, and lots of other banking requirements can be fulfilled through the bank. And hence saving bank account has emerged as a game changer for the banking industry. Banks are offering wide range of services, not just restricting to accepting deposits or giving loans. This wide range of services includes your ancillary, traditional ancillary products, the latest addition of para-banking products, be it an insurance product, be it a mutual fund product, be it a stockbroking product, or be it any advisory product. Lots and lots of emphasis is laid on providing a wide range of products, which includes a variety of plastic cards also. Even the weaker sections are encouraged to open Aadhaar link saving account for a direct transfer of cash subsidy, so that is middlemen won't misuse the money. When the subsidies are directly reaching this weaker section, they can literally make use of each and every penny given by the government meant for their development. And once this happens by direct transfer of cash subsidies to their account on the basis of their Aadhaar card, such customer can use it whenever they want and use it for their benefit, rather than allowing this middleman to eat away the well-deserved money kept for their development. Increase of efficiency. By embracing technology, banks have increased their efficiency. This is a tremendous impact on the banking sector, because we have seen the public sector bank had changed them into a social bank. They had lots of customers to be catered to, but they did not have the technology, because you cannot have people, the trained people in each and every part of the country for catering to this huge large. But when technology is used, most of the transactions which does not require immediate human intervention can be done by these machines, and this is an effective strategy to divert or use these people, available people, for serving the customer, for serving the banking needs. Technology revolution starts with computerization, and the modern banking is still evolving. Lots and lots and flavors of the core banking software, lots and lots of technology products can be directly plugged into this core banking software, unlike the earlier technology where it used to take a lot of time for clubbing in a new product, because the basic coding of that platform was in a different format, and hence any change to that particular software required huge number of time and man hours. But now it is no more a huge number of man hours or any extra effort required. The core banking software, the scalability or the design is made in such a way that any new invention can be immediately incorporated into the main system and rolled over to each and every customer of the bank. ATMs are a wonderful example of reducing the transaction cost, and it has been scientifically proved that whatever money a bank spends for allowing a customer to make a transaction across the counter is much higher compared to a transaction made on an ATM. So ATMs have served lots of interest of saving good amount of money for the banker, and in turn it has also given lots of quick service meant for the customer at any time he wants, at any place he wants. Internet banking and mobile banking is a real wonder, or what we say a super product of the modern times for the customer. ATMs, at least you go to you need to visit to the ATM, but internet banking and mobile, you can do it wherever you are, at your home, your office, or even while you are traveling. What you require is just an internet connection or a mobile instrument, and this has given lots of advantage to the customer. Internet banking and mobile banking have totally changed the brick and mortar banking model into a totally wireless model. Wealth management. With the growth in technology, with the growth in companies, with the growth in professionals, people have started earning money from various sources. At the same time, they are aware that they should not invest their money in any one source. The problem is they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the expertise of where to put their money. And here comes the advisory role of a banker. The banker also willingly goes out of its way to help all those wealthy customers who have lots of money but don't know where to invest. Banks are offering them the wealth management services. Bankers are focusing more on managing the wealth of the customer rather than offering him just a deposit account or a loan account. It takes care of the entire wealth of the customer and guides him to put that in various investment options, or even availing various borrowing options for his individual growth as well as for the growth of his family and business. The wide range of services come from the fixed deposits to the insurance to the mutual funds, to the share broking through itself, or if it is not possible through itself, it has a tie-up arrangement with all those companies who can provide them such services. So here, even though the bank is not doing the transaction on its own, it simply earns fees or commission from these tie-up partners, or we see the third-party arrangements. Last year, our economy was going through a slowdown. The interest rates of the Reserve Bank of India were shooting the sky. The borrowers were not finding it very easy to borrow the loans. The growth of the company was not happening as fast as it was expected. And as a result of which, the deposits were also not coming to the bank. But I have the latest figures for you by which there is an upward revision in the deposit rates happening, and in the recent times with the changeover of the RBI governor, some new scenarios have come to the fore, and hence the upward revision in deposit rates have been tweaked across shorter tenure deposits due to the Reserve Bank of India's recent monetary policy. Bankers are willing to offer a higher rate of interest on shorter term fixed deposits rather than on a long term fixed deposits, because you don't know what interest rates will be prevailing for a longer term, but the monetary policy is giving them a free hand for deciding on the fixed deposits interest rates for a shorter term. The deposit growth is hovering somewhere around 14 to 15%, and it is steadily improving. RBI has also cheered the depositors by one important decision. Banks are now permitted to pay interest on the fixed deposits on a monthly or a fortnightly basis rather than on a quarterly or a longer interval basis. Because when a customer gets the interest rate on the monthly or the fortnightly basis, he will definitely get interest before, rather than waiting for 3 months. If he gets interest fortnightly or monthly, the yield, if we compute on an annual basis, will be definitely higher, and this had brought lots of cheers to the customer, especially to those who are making their living on the interest on the bank deposits, like the senior citizens, like the pensioners. A great boost for this category of people, especially because of this recent direction by Reserve Bank of India. So more liquidity is expected to happen, especially to senior citizens, in the form of higher payouts of whatever interest they get on their fixed deposits. Now we move on to bank lending, which is also an important aspect of banking. Bankers have witnessed a higher absorption of bank funds in the service small and medium enterprises rather than in the manufacturing small and medium enterprises. The service sector is booming and growing more than the manufacturing sector. We have to agree that a corporate absorption is a bit slower than the SME sector, but within the SME sector, the service sector is more, or the growth of service sector in the absorption of lending or the bank funds is more than the manufacturing sector, which is to be noted because of lots of service industry mushrooming in our country rather than manufacturing. The overall credit growth in the lending business of Indian banking is hovering around 16 to 17%, which is also improving with the recent monetary policies. You will be surprised to note the credit deposit ratio has already reached a new high in some last few days. The credit to deposit ratio rose to a lifetime high of 78.52%, indicating that banks are borrowing more than what they are having from the deposits of the customer, which can be a risky trend also. And this borrowing comes from the market to lend rather than from the low cost deposits. Hence, it is a risky because it directly affects the bottom lines. For projects and working capital, no doubt this would be high risk lending. If the repayment happens properly, the profit can also grow. But the reality of such shortage of funds because of the decline in the deposits has taken the credit deposit ratio of the bank to a new high, and as high as 78.52%. As the lending is growing, as the side effects or some aspects of slowing down the economy, the rise in the rupee rate directly affecting the growth of the imports as well as exports, and various other factors has directly impacted the repaying capacity of the borrowers more from the corporate borrowers, and because of which there is a rise in the non-performing assets of the banks also. The bank's asset quality has deteriorated sharply last year, with the gross NPA ratio rising by 40 basis points to 3.6% of the total bank advances. And this alarming signal has been conveyed by the Reserve Bank of India, by the Finance Ministry, to all the banks to take special efforts in devising proper strategies for recovering the dues and improving the asset quality so that the NPA ratio is brought under control. RBI wants fairness, and it has given directions that the banks can even go ahead in compensating the employees to be among the parameters, and this compensation can come for the employees' efforts for recovering this non-performing assets dues to the bank, so that the employees gets motivated and do something more than their normal day-to-day banking duties, so that the recovery efforts are hastened and the NPA growth to the adverse of the bank can be arrested, and in which the percentage of defaulters is also reduced. India tops in the remittances in the world. Indians are spread across the world, lots of NRIs, and there was a recent crisis of serious depreciation of the rupee value. The rupee value had deteriorated to such an extent that the current account deficit was also impacted seriously, and Reserve Bank of India and the Finance Ministry was taking all sort of efforts, requesting the NRIs to send in remittances, and one result of that is India has stopped the remittances received from abroad into our country in this recent year. India remains the biggest benefactor of global remittances. Inward remittances flow are large and growing through the Indian banks. And if at all the remittances has to come, the best channel are the banks, because they can directly reach to the customer. There are various other non-banking channels also, but the percentage of the inward remittance is lesser compared to the inward remittances coming through the banks, because the banks are also spread across the world, and lots of NRIs and people willing to send remittances to their near and dear ones in our country find a convenient mode for sending their remittances in our country. India not only tops in the remittances field. Just in today's paper it has come that India also tops the world's investment destination leads. It also has surpassed the developed countries like US and our counterpart China. India is topping both US and China in the world's top investment destination list. Why has this happened? This has happened for specific three reasons. The government has relaxed lots of foreign direct investment norms. There is a cheaper rupee available because of the recent hit our rupee has taken. The global improvements gives the country the edge because most of the foreigners prefer India for various factors to do business and spread their business, and in addition to that, the relaxed FDI norms gives them the biggest opportunity to choose India as the best destination for their investment, and this is ultimately going to help our economy, and this again is because of the banking sector, well-developed banking sector in our country. Because of this, the banking stocks are gaining momentum. You will not know which bigger bank has swallowed a smaller bank, which foreign bank has taken over a highly growing Indian bank, and that's the reason the bank stocks are gaining momentum. And in addition to the takeover reasons, there are other reasons also, because most of the banks are giving 30 to 40% growth in profits year on year continuously. Banking stocks are abuzz with buying interest much before the issue of new licenses in January 2014. The new licenses will further take the banking stock to a greater height, and this is all happening even before the issue of new licenses in January 2014 due to an important announcement by the Reserve Bank of India that overseas bank can also acquire small Indian banks provided they form a subsidiary and they just don't open a branch of their foreign entity in our country, and hence foreign banks have got a golden opportunity to acquire smaller banks and spread the banking business in our country. Global investors are bullish on India because they are sure India, which is having the largest middle class investor group, is going to grow and grow, and lots of products and services are going to be consumed by this growing middle class, and hence the global investor is bullish on India. India has already adopted the Basel III guidelines, and hence our banking sector is supposed to be the most safest one because it is following all the international banking guidelines. India offers a big retail market for the global investors because our population is such huge, our infrastructure is such huge, lot of promise, a big promise is offered for the foreign investor. Bankers have adopted the best practices code also, so our banking policies, procedures and the day-to-day working is also based on the best practices code, so the chances of any sudden wrong going happening in the banking system are also very less. We can now talk of the banking language because we have studied right from the evolution, we have studied the regulations, we have studied the individual components of banks, we have studied what is the importance of customer service, we are also abreast with the latest development on banking, and hence we can now talk the banking language. By understanding the banking fundamentals and growth of banking, we can now understand the needs of the customer and offer him suitable products and services. By talking in the banking language, the final outcome will always be a customer delight. That is something more than what a customer expects from the bank. And this, in turn, is going to help the banking industry to grow tremendously. And young people like you will take a great lead in serving the banking sector, which forms a very important aspect of the commerce. At the same time, we cannot violate any norms, because the foreign investors specifically see this. We are compliant with Basel III. We are following the best practices. Hence, we have studied in banking fundamentals that each and every regulation, each and every best practices has to be followed by us. And hence, we cannot violate any norms, be it the KYC guidelines or the BCSBI codes or the bank's internal rules and regulations or the regulatory bodies' guidelines like the Reserve Bank of India, the SEBI, the IRDA, etc., or any regulations coming from the PMLA or the COPRA or some more regulations that can come in the near future. This is important, increasingly necessary for the bankers to know whom they are dealing with. Since now we clearly know who is a customer, who is a consumer, who is not a customer, who are the regulatory authorities, we are supposed and must follow their guidelines and directions. Any defect in product or deficiency in service can be taken up by the customer, because the customers are also becoming more and more aware of their rights and the obligations of the banker towards them. And any small defect in product or in deficiency of service can be taken up right from the internal grievance system of the bank to the ombudsman or to the consumer forum or even to the civil courts. Hence, the banker has to be very careful in following all the norms that are required to be followed, and should forget that it will go unnoticed by the customer. The grievance redressal cell or even the ombudsman or the consumer forum are always looking into all the details and takes a considerate view, so that the interest of the customer is always protected and banker can't get away with any defect in the product or deficiency in the service. Always keep in mind, as quoted by our great Mahatma of our country, Mahatma Gandhi, a customer is the most important visitor on our premises. Each and every word of this quotation of Mahatma Gandhi is very important for any person working in a service industry. So the first statement is, a customer is the most important visitor on our premises. He is not dependent on us, but we are dependent on him. Very true. Some of the bankers feel that they are obliging. No, we are dependent on the customer. Only because the customer is there, the banking institution is there. The moment the customer is vanished, the banking system will vanish. Hence, we have to respect the customer in order to allow the banking industry to grow. He is not an interruption in our work. He has to be given priority. Only he gets customer satisfaction, he will prefer our bank. Hence, he is not an interruption in our work. He is the purpose of it. He is not an outsider to our business, but he is a very part of it. Unless we satisfy him, we cannot grow in the banking business. We are not doing you a favor by serving him. In fact, he is doing us a favor for giving us an opportunity to do so. So friends, very important quote from Mahatma Gandhi. You need to follow each and every word of it to get great success for yourself in a service industry as well as for whichever company you work. And finally, we have completed all 18 chapters of Banking Fundamentals. Serve the customer with love and care and help the banking industry to grow. All the best. Thank you very much.